Hey, it's Mike Simpson here. There are always what-ifs that you're trying to guard against, and I want to tell you about Equity Protect, because what if you lost your home not to some kind of natural disaster or a fire, but to title theft? Your homeowner's insurance won't cover you. The monitoring services, they can't stop it. But Equity Protect, they can. You're thinking, is title theft real? Yeah, it is. Criminals can forge documents and steal properties. They try to do it all the time. That's why you need to call Equity Protect at 866-485-1834. What they have is their patented smart policy that protects your homeownership from cybercrime, from fraud, and they've been all over the place, and maybe you've seen them on Forbes, Fox News, MSNBC, USA Today. You can check out their reviews on Google, on the BBB, 866-485-1834, 866-485-1834, equityprotect.com. All the info's right there for you. And protect your home today. EquityProtect.com, 866-485-1834, 866-485-1834.
For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners and learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Texting terms at unlock.com/SMS. Privacy policy at unlock.com/privacy-policy. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Terms and conditions apply. For full details, see unlock.com/legal. After portrayal.
Lisa, thanks for having me over. Your new kitchen is gorgeous. How'd you find the money to do it?
We worked with this great company, Unlock. They help you unlock the future value of your home to get the cash you need today.
So it's a home equity loan?
No, it's not a loan at all. There's no monthly payments and no interest charges ever. And you can use the money however you want. We were able to redo our kitchen and pay off our credit card debt.
Wow, Jack and I could really use this to finally pay off our old student loan debt. How do I get started?
It's easy. Just go to their website.
Text EQUITY to 865-865 to unlock the value in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Pay off debt, improve your home, add to your retirement fund. It's up to you. Text EQUITY to 865-865. Text the word EQUITY to 865-865. Text EQUITY to 865-865 now.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, there was a reason I'm playing this song today. And I decided to not go with Mamma Mia just because we've heard Mamma Mia so much and was in the mood for something up. But it was 50 years ago today that their self-titled record, ABBA, was released with this song, with SOS, and with Mamma Mia. Now, I was thinking about this.
I love SOS.
I do, too. You know, let me tell you something. It was, Sue, it was between SOS and this one for the bump. But I liked the way that this one ended, so I went with I do. But it's interesting. I wanted to bring this up just a little bit because the history of, you know, albums and rock bands and the what ifs and what could have happened are kind of interesting. And this was at a point in 1975. They had released Waterloo. They had, like, a couple of hits. But the band will tell you that they kind of thought of themselves, or they were trying to be more like Sweet, which was a glam rock group in the 70s, right? Huh. Because they didn't, but then he even admits, and this is Bourne, one of the members of the band, says to The Guardian in 2014, well, that was stupid because we were always a pop group. So they write songs, and Benny Anderson, who's the other male in the band, they start writing a song, and they come up with Mamma Mia, and they do it with Stig Anderson, their manager. Stig actually comes up with the name, and they like the song okay, but they are going to give it away. They didn't think much of it. So they were going to give it to a group called Brotherhood of Man to record. And the quote is, we knew it was a potential smash, but left it for the next recording session because we wanted to do Save Your Kisses for Me. Of course, ABBA then did it themselves. So as it turned out, you know, it's recorded as the last song for this record in 1975, and they recorded it. So this is what, be April darned. 21st. They recorded that damn thing on March 12th, and they turned it around that quickly, and that really, I think, changed everything. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I guess I started to complete my thought. There's a younger generation of people in this country that probably don't really know about ABBA. They know about Mamma Mia. They know it's a musical. They might even think that the music came from, you know, from the musical.
Right.
The musical came
first.
Oh,
I see. I didn't think about that. You're probably right.
You know, I can't admit, you know how sometimes you have an actor that tried out for a role and he wasn't chosen. I can't think of any group but ABBA doing Mamma Mia.
Right. No,
that's
I know.
A good point.
Like Brotherhood of Man.
Well, and the other thing I said in this article, Fred, is that when they didn't, you know, just mail it in on the recording, they took it very seriously, and the recording that they did, you know, was certainly in an effort to make a hit. It's just that bands sometimes don't see these things coming, and that one kind of took on a completely different life.
Great pop hit.
Hey, I wanted to mention something. This is going in the other direction, but I have to mention it here because it was kind of crazy. So as we wrapped the roundtable on Friday afternoon, we were back here in the studio after a Fish Fry tour. Jane Duker, who will be on the panel again this Friday, leaves the building. Sue, I don't even know if you saw this. Did you see the motorcycle gang?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Did I send that to you?
No,
yeah, okay.
I saw her tweet.
Right. So we're sitting here. That's right, because we were noticing this in the studio on Friday. So Jane goes up to the corner here at 14th and Market, and she's standing there at the light. This is exactly right across from Stiefel, heading toward Enterprise, right? And then to your left is our building, to a certain extent, kind of to your behind and your left, and then City Hall is up there as well. So she's stopped at that light right by Stiefel, and one of the motorcycles just pulls up right in front of the traffic. So her light is green. So green means go. You can go through it unless there's a motorcycle dude there that's blocking traffic. And there is a line. Let's see how long this video lasts here, because there's a line of these motorcycles that go through downtown. It's a 50-second video. And Jane told me that it went well beyond 50 seconds.
Yep.
So here we have a situation where we're coming into a new administration with a new mayor. I'm not blaming the new mayor for this. I'm just saying this is representative of things that happen in downtown, where if you're coming downtown, let's say you're here with the family and you see a parade of motorcycles, no one doing anything about it. They're going through every red light on Market Street. That's St. Louis. Hey, guess what I saw in St. Louis? I saw a motorcycle gang downtown.
Did they arrest a couple of them?
I didn't hear that they did. I don't think anything was done at all.
I thought I saw a story that said, well, I'll have to go research
that. Well, I hope so. I hope you're right. But, you know,
I mean, you can't get them all.
No.
But I think they got a couple, but I hope I'm not conflating that with something
but
else.
But you would think you'd have a situation where there'd be at least a couple, and I think that you don't have this situation, where maybe a couple of police cruisers from downtown would be able to get involved and say, hey, you know what, guys, you're not going to shut down the streets. You want to ride your motorcycles, but you're not going through red lights and shutting down
right.
the streets for everyone else. That's not how this game is played. And we're going to give you a ticket for that. But that might be too much to ask. I hope maybe there were a couple of people that were pulled over, because that would not be a bad thing at all.
Might be wrong.
And then one thing, going back to entertainment, because I have to talk about this, and we talked about it a little bit on Friday. I started last night this whole Gilgo Beach documentary that's on Netflix. You know, the Long Island murder. We talked with Paul Morrow about this before. It's the serial killer on Long Island. That the era here is like 2008, 9, 10, 11. They found all these women's bodies. There were four of them. They were all sex workers, if you will. Mm. There's an issue in the movie where the mothers who get involved here don't like them being called prostitutes, but they were, you know, they were doing
things.
That's
what they were?
That's kind of what they were, yeah. Right? I don't want to be disrespectful to the dead here, but yes, they were. So this movie, though, gets into well beyond the actual serial killing, because there's three episodes of this thing, Sue, and the second episode, I just finished it this morning, is essentially about all of the corruption in this particular area. Then this is, by the way, where Brian Kilmeade is from. Massapequa. He might even still live there right now. Huh. I don't know much about the geography of New York when it comes to like Manhattan and Brooklyn and et cetera. You learn a lot from this because the maps are really easy to understand. You may even understand New York geography better than you ever have when you see where the bodies were found compared to where people worked in Manhattan. But there's this situation, I'll just kind of sum it up this way as a tease, where the district attorney in Suffolk County, in this area in Long Island, and again, they're trying to investigate these deaths. They don't know if it's one serial killer, if it's multiple, blah, blah, blah. But they tell a little history here. And the guy who's the DA goes back to 1979 and a story where there was another murder, and he's like cutting his teeth on being a prosecutor. And there's a 16-year-old kid who ends up testifying for this guy and closing the deal on a different murder case. That 16-year-old kid becomes the chief of police in Suffolk County when this dude, who was having him come into this murder trial in 1979, is now the DA. So beyond the Gilgo Beach murders, the police corruption angle, there's a guy that's featured in the video that wrote a book about this, just about the, not about the serial killing, but about the, you know, the corruption in Suffolk County. It is unbelievable the depth of corruption and the nonsense that went on in this one big police department. They describe it as like the best paying police department in the country and all these things. So I would highly recommend that Netflix series. I also watched the Oklahoma City bombing doc, and that was, I thought it was really good. It was certainly something to remember on this weekend. It took place, you know, 30 years ago on Saturday. That's a crazy story as well. You've forgotten a lot about the details, so I would recommend that one as well.
Oh, that's interesting. By the way, I just heard from Kim St. Ange, and she said, yep, they did arrest three people from the motorcyclists going through there. Two from Pacific, Missouri, and one from the state of Indiana.
That's random. I wonder what the charges would be, you know, like...
I don't know.
A couple of traffic tickets or something like that. Hey, if you're like me, you don't pay those in St. Louis, so that's probably what's going to happen. Let's
Great.
Do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
How was Easter for you, Mark?
It was without ham, Sue. That's how I answered that question.
Same.
Yeah. We did a brunch. We decided it was just Becky's aunt, so we didn't do much yesterday.
They in Grafton have turned the old Finn Inn. Did anybody remember that? Where they had like the all the fish tanks along where you eat, and it went under. Well, now it's a new restaurant, and it was quite tasty. So we had a brunch there. And it was delicious just to not have ham. Fred, did you get ham?
I had ham. I went to a brunch at my brother-in-law's house, and that was on Saturday, and it was wonderful.
Oh, that's nice. Ethan, ham?
We had ham. Ham was good. It was fine. But we also had mashed potatoes, some phenomenal baked five cheese mac and cheese. That was really good.
Well, mashed potatoes is what caught my attention.
You know what I had for dinner, though, on Easter Sunday?
No.
I had hot dogs.
What?
Is that like sacrilegious? Yeah, I had hot dogs for dinner last night.
Hot dogs for dinner?
I don't know. We had the brunch, and I thought, you know what? I kind of have a hankering for hot dogs, so that's what we had. We had some Nathan's Famous.
Oh, those are the best.
Chicago dogs.
At least you got good quality.
Yes. Had a little mac and cheese there with it. It was just Kraft, but, you know, I'm suffering out there as a talk show host in America. Well, I mean, it wasn't any look,
well,
he had
you were probably
five
feeling
cheese.
Great after
that's
dinner.
Not very impressive.
Right. I mean, Ethan's throwing down the gauntlet here on the fancy grilled, not grilled cheese, but...
Yeah, Mama Wendell didn't play around.
No.
Yeah,
I don't
blame
her. She knows what's up. An online poll, by the way, asked, what gender do you think the Easter Bunny is?
Oh, my God. Non-binary.
5,000 people weighed in. Here's how it shook out. 32% said male. Now, randomly...
32%?
That's it?
Wait, what?
I would have thought that would have been higher, but then, you know, you see him in an outfit. He's not clothed. There's nothing happening. So, maybe I'm with the 64% who said neither have never thought about it. Maybe he is.
What is it? Oreo a male?
Oreo's a male.
Oh,
Oreo's a male?
Point.
You see anything on Oreo?
Well, that was actually something that came up a year ago because we didn't, and I thought for sure it was a female. I misgendered Oreo for the longest time.
My
you might
gosh.
Have missed that. No, we thought it was a little
girl.
Did
you get canceled?
No.
Wow.
I could have, though.
Uh-uh. Well, if Oreo were a bitter rabbit.
I could see there people would say, you know, neither or we haven't thought about it much.
Yeah, that's where I am. Fred, have you thought about it?
I hadn't thought about it.
How about the 5% of people who said, Easter Bunny is a female? What are you talking about?
How about in the majority of the country, I'm raising my hand right now with Scott Jennings, who think that adult-sized Easter bunnies are creepy and should be banned.
I agree.
That's where I fall down.
Okay, I'll tell you where they are cute, and that is we were at the, it was a doggy Easter egg hunt in Ladue, and it was really cute, and to take a picture with the puppies with the Easter bunny is kind of cute. So... I'm
especially
not
if the
on
dogs
that.
Are happy about
right,
it.
Right, the dogs are happy. They're holding it. The Easter Bunny's cute.
How did that go? Because you were a little concerned. That was a rain or shine event. It was a little rainy.
It was rain. I sat in the rain for 4.5 hours. But we were under a little awning. But people turned up, thankfully, and were nice enough to buy raffle tickets and stuff like that. But it was not great. Thanks for asking. And 9 years ago, if you can believe it, it was 9 years ago that in 2016, and I do have a little music just for a bed, that Prince passed away. He's been gone for 9 years.
Wow.
It was accidental overdose of fentanyl. He was 57. And this is the 2021 remaster, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. This is Prince rocking out here.
Yeah, that was quite a loss.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. So he'd be like 66 now, right?
I know, isn't that crazy to think about?
So he lived not far from where my wife grew up and where her parents still live. So every time we pass by, they'd say, oh, Prince lived in that neighborhood. And they, I guess you could, it's like a museum now. You can go into his house.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And my father-in-law is a huge Prince fan. So they did it almost right away, and they said that it was extremely eerie. Because, I mean, they opened it not too long, apparently, after he had passed. They said it just felt too weird.
Is like everything purple? You know, he loved the purple.
That's a good question. I will report back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
My favorite
that.
Prince story is from one of Prince's sound techs. And Fred, I can't remember his name, but remember Kenny Wallace hooked me up with him. And he shared a story. So Bob Heil became a friend. Bob passed away a couple years ago. He of the Heil Talk Box, Peter Frampton,
Yeah.
But Bob was a guy who had an audio company, and Heil microphones are very popular. And at one point, somebody requested a Heil mic for Prince, and he sends one up, and Prince loved the microphone. He loved the quality of the microphone. He says, the quote that I was given is, "Where has this mic been my entire life?" But one of the reasons he liked it is because it was purple. But it wasn't purple because of Prince. It was purple because of Robert Heil. He loved purple. That was kind of his thing.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That was
so,
a thing?
But Prince used that microphone, is my understanding, for quite some time.
That's pretty cool. In music news, a study found some people's brains are just wired to connect with music on a different level. If it makes you cry, if it gives you goosebumps, you are probably one of them. I think we're all one of them, aren't we? At least in this room.
Well, Fred says he doesn't listen to lyrics, though, right?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know what to do with that. As a chick, I've overanalyzed everything.
Yeah,
see, it's my job.
Music to me is extremely, it's a lot about emotion in the
feel.
Yes,
agreed.
Right?
Yeah. It's an art form, and it's transformative. Ethan?
I'm 100% with you guys.
They say it's 54% genetics. The other 46% say it's how you were raised. For example, if you play an instrument or grew up listening to music with your family. Hmm.
And, so, this may be a small part of it. I don't really know, and I don't think I'll ever know, but I do not know my biological father. I do know that he was a saxophone player.
Yeah,
that's
kind
all
of
I
interesting.
Know. Yeah.
I always think, ooh, I'd wish you'd... And then I think, this is not my business. How about I shut up? I totally get not wanting to go for it.
My dad, I had music around me my whole life. My dad was... But he played, like, the accordion.
Right.
You know, all the fun things.
Is that
the
perfect?
The organ. You know, the harmonica.
Oh, Fred.
You know, all the stuff that you don't want to learn.
That's interesting.
Do you have a picture of your dad playing the accordion? Because I would
I
like
do.
That. Okay, will you bring that
okay,
in?
I okay.
Okay. Over the Easter weekend, the movie Sinners, starring Michael B. Jordan, topped the box office at 45.6 million. But the thing about that is it beat a Minecraft movie, which they didn't think would happen. So Minecraft was second. By the way, Minecraft is now up to 700 million worldwide.
That's insane.
I mean,
come on.
Million.
Did Paul Hall talk about Sinners last week? I don't think he did.
Did he?
Talk about it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
He did? Okay, because I tell you what, people were freaking out on Twitter this weekend about it.
What's
saying that it was really good, and there were just some mind-blowing scenes in there.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I should
he
have done the synopsis, because I don't know what it's about.
I don't know much either.
They also say it earned the most money in the opening weekend for an original movie since Jordan Peele's Us in 2019.
Was this a Jordan Peele movie?
No.
No, okay.
You know what, Ethan? He may not have talked about that very much on Friday. I'm looking at the list here.
Yeah, it wasn't on there?
No.
So
I don't
an original
it.
Movie.
Yeah,
it's all the other ones are based on something else?
Oh my gosh, yes, Fred. Nobody has an original
right.
idea.
Sad.
Tim Allen did give us, speaking of that, Tim Allen gave us a new tidbit about Toy Story 5. Up to this point, not much was known except that he and Tom Hanks would return as Buzz and Woody. Tim says, quote, "I can tell you that it's a lot about Jesse. Tom Hanks and I do, Woody and I, they realign, but there's an unbelievable opening scene with Buzz Lightyear, and I can give you that, but not too much more. By the way, it's not confirmed whether Joan Cusack will return as the voice of Jesse." I love Joan Cusack.
I was just going to ask you that. You know, it's so funny because I picked these random movies, and the other night, I think I mentioned this on Friday, I started 16 Candles.
I love that one.
Oh. Very, very young, probably 15 or 16-year-old Joan Cusack.
Oh, she's awesome in that. Well, everybody is.
And then on her brother's front, listen, let's bring it full circle. Becky and I had started Runaway Jury with Gene Hackman. Man, Gene Hackman is so good in that. Good. And we finished that last night, Runaway Jury, with John
Automobile.
Cusack.
Did you get to movie. That point from 16 Candles? Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, keep going.
I will.
Let's see. Food and Wine did a big story on a new food mashup that you don't see coming. These are always disgusting. This is so gross. It's a mashup of oysters and s'mores.
Oh, God.
Thank you. It's an oyster on a half shell, Fred, topped with Hershey's chocolate, crumbled graham crackers, and a tiny marshmallow. They torch the marshmallow to brown it on the top. Now, it's worse in your head when you see the picture. They've kind of gourmeted it up, if that makes sense. You know, because it's mostly just roasty, toasty. It's sweet and salty. That's what they're going for.
How are you guys on oysters? I'm, like, so negative.
Well, I'm not surprised by that, Fred. I don't like them raw, but if you cook them, I like them broiled with a little flavor. That's nice.
I can't say I've ever tried an oyster, but it's one of those things that just at the look of it, I'm like, oh... I'll steer clear.
Camp. What about
in this
you,
case,
Mark?
Yes.
Love them.
Thank you. You got to cook
them
or do you
oysters?
Do them wrong?
No, I'll do them both ways.
Yeah,
I'll do oysters on the half shell or fried or
I'll grow up
delicious.
Sometime.
But I do understand.
I don't want that either, Fred. I want it cooked.
What you described there did sound disgusting, but you mentioned kind of what they're going for.
Gourmeting it up.
Well, no, the
sweet
and salty.
The salty. That's the whole point. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Oh, this is random. All right. The North and South Poles don't officially have time zones. Now, in the North Pole, each research station uses the time from its home country. And in the South, since people mostly fly there from New Zealand, they just say, what the heck, we'll use that one. But no time zones at all. So if we went there, it would be America. I don't really get it. It would be St. Louis time.
Well, most of the year, it's dark there, isn't it? So
yeah,
I guess
they don't care.
That part doesn't really matter. You don't really correlate it with sunlight. So
woof.
That would be tough.
Here's
how
what
do
I'm
you set your DVR?
Yeah, I don't think none of us are ever going to be challenged to a situation where we're going to have to worry about any of that when it comes to the time zone at the polls. 50 years ago today, this record by ABBA came out featuring Mamma Mia, SOS, and this lovely song.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com.
We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
I am very much looking forward to speaking with David Zweig after the top of the hour. He's got a brand new book out about COVID and how it totally screwed up our kids and society. We were told the school closures were based on evidence. They were not. You have kids, millions of them, that are paying the price. David's going to join us with details from his book here after the top of the hour. Also, Mr. Cusumano is coming up here in just a little bit. The Cardinals did not have the greatest weekend. Swept by the Mets. They're in Atlanta. We're very happy a week ago, I think, coming out of the series with the Phillies, but this did not go as well for the Cardinals, and we'll talk about the Blues. They're back in action tonight in Game 2. So here is Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland trying to basically justify his trip to release the gangbanger down there in El Salvador.
My purpose in going there was to, number one, see if he was alive, mm-hmm. see if he was healthy, take his story. As I said, they have litigated this case on MS-13, and it was the judge in the most recent case who says, put up or shut up. I want to be very clear. I'm not vouching for the man. I'm vouching for the man's rights, mm-hmm. his constitutional rights to due process. And the proper place to litigate that is in the courts.
So Ilya Shapiro's back with a senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. Of course, he was just in St. Louis last week. How are you, Ilya? I'm very curious about your position on all of this.
I'm doing well. I'm in New York right now. And in between now and when I was with you in St. Louis, I was in Arizona for Passover spring break. Had lots of adventures with my 9 and 7-year-old, including taking a train to the Grand Canyon, recommend that, from Williams, Arizona, and sleeping in a Navajo hogan, which is a hut. Great experience. Don't need to do that again, but my boys will remember it for the rest of their lives, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Well, I'm looking at a lot of things over the weekend, and we discussed this quite a bit on my Friday show on the Reardon Roundtable, and I seem to have even people that are on my side politically arguing on this due process situation. You, while I agree with you, you do seem to be the outlier when it comes to some of the legal opinions, and I appreciate that, but I want to know what your thought process is compared to some of the others that are out there. Even a guy like Turley is on Fox, I think, questioning some of the due process issues here. So lay it out for me here, Ilya.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disagreement about due process. That's some of that's the issue in that with the Venezuelans and the midnight order by the Supreme Court and Alito's dissent that happened yesterday, Sunday. Can't keep track of all this stuff. But with Garcia, the Salvadoran who was in the country illegally and then was shipped to El Salvador and is in that super jail now, the issue is the meaning of facilitate, because the district court ordered the U.S. government to facilitate his return to the United States. It went up to the Supreme Court, which affirmed the order, declined to enforce the effectuate part, but said, clarify what you mean by facilitate. And the government's position is, as long as we remove any barriers, provide a plane, we can do that. Beyond that, if you're telling the president to engage in some diplomacy or even, asking Salvador's President Bukele, who was in the White House just last week, if you're asking us to engage in that, then that's beyond the district court's powers, which may or may not be. It's a bit of an academic exercise, because if he were returned, he would be adjudicated. They'd probably get that stay of deportation removed, because the reason that he had that entered was because of gangs that credibly threatened his life. Bukele has cleaned up Salvador. Those gangs are no longer operational. So presumably, if the government did jump through the hoops to rectify this administrative error that everyone admits was an error, then he would be deported soon after that. So again, the legal fight is over this definition of facilitate. And does the government actually have to ask Bukele, who would grant that request, because There's even an agreement, a treaty or a written agreement that the Secretary of State or the President, since they can send people to the Salvadoran prison, they can also request people to return. So anyway, I agree with all the legal rulings, and it's just this skirmish, which, as I said, is academic. It doesn't really matter. I imagine what's going on in the background right now is the administration is trying to find a third country to send him to, because that stay of deportation just said he can't be sent back to El Salvador.
So if he, what would be the risk? And I'm just thinking this through, and I kind of said this maybe half jokingly because I'm so angry about this situation. One of the things I said on Friday is, hey, let Trump go down there, J.D. Vance, bring him on Air Force One, give him the caviar and the margaritas that maybe he did or didn't sip down there with Van Hollen, bring him back and then kick his ass back out. But is that not a scenario that's at least feasible or possible?
I think they could do that. Michele would release him, absolutely, and they could take him back, have a hearing, have an immigration judge waiting for him, adjudicate him, and have him deported, you know, later the same day or the next day. That could be a scenario that they're contemplating. I imagine they don't want to be seen as doing that in response to the judicial order, because they don't want to concede that a judge can order the president or the executive branch to engage in some kind of foreign affairs. And the Supreme Court did say that, in clarifying the order about facilitation, that the judge has to keep in mind the deference that courts traditionally give the president on foreign affairs. That could be how this ends up playing out. You know, we're returning him, but on my timeline, because I say so, because I believe in the rule of law, and we have this immigration judge ready to go. That could be another way that this ends.
But Van Hollen and others, I mean, Van Hollen has asked this question over the weekend. You know, did you ask him if he was an MS-13 gang member? And of course he didn't. He says, well, I know the way that he'd answer. I think the way he'd answer is, yeah, of course, look at my knuckles right now. But they keep insisting, and, you know, they had to pivot to this, I think, midweek last week, that this is just about due process. The facts of this case, no matter what he did, doesn't matter, because this is about the process of kicking someone out of this country that was already here. And of course, he's just a Maryland father.
Well, again, this is the issue of due process is the big sticking point for the use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport the Venezuelans. And multiple courts, including the Supreme Court, have now ruled that the if someone is picked up not at the border but inside the country, they are due some process before you kind of summarily ship them out. With Garcia, it's different. Everyone admits that this was an error. He wasn't supposed to be sent to Salvador. It didn't pop up in the system of the ICE folks who were checking. They saw the two orders of deportation. So he was ordered removed twice. And there was a finding that he was likely a member of MS-13 by an immigration judge. But for whatever reason, the computer didn't pop up that was stayed because of the reasonable fear of a threat to his life in Salvador. Again, these are very old orders. He was in the country illegally. An immigration judge found that he was likely a member of MS-13 and ordered his removal. So it's not about, you know, it's about crossing your T's, dotting your I's. The final result is going to be his deportation. But the question is, what does facilitate mean at this point? It's not the same issue with Venezuelans or somebody snatched off the street who's claiming he's a citizen and he gets expelled. Or, you know, I'm actually surprised that Van Hollen or other Democrats are using Garcia as the poster boy for the administration's what they're claiming to be excess or violation of rule of law, because they could pick that. Wasn't there a gay hairdresser who says that, you know, I'm not a member of this Tren de Aragua, I shouldn't be sent to Venezuela? That seems like, for example, and there are a couple other things like that. That seems like a more sympathetic case than someone who's, you know, credibly accused of wife beating, human trafficking, immigration judge says likely a member of MS-13, et cetera. It's kind of like the Mohammed Khalil thing with the student visa and the Hamas supporters. Again, pick a different poster boy. I think they're engaged in bad politics.
Yeah, I think so,
Trump
too.
Trump is letting this play out for that political PR reason.
And there's a Rasmussen poll that just came out, and it shows very definitively that this is an 80-20 issue, and even the majority of Democrats, once again, do not want, you know, illegals who certainly are participating in crimes in this country. Ilya Shapiro is with us. He is the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. Interestingly enough, we have a case before the Supremes tomorrow that also comes from Maryland, and this has to do with LGBTQIA+, as they say, books in the classroom. Can you explain this case and the arguments tomorrow?
Sure. This is the case of Mahmoud versus Taylor. And this is a different Mahmoud. It's nothing to do with the Palestinian stuff or Hamas or whatever, Colombia. This is a number of parents in Montgomery County, Maryland. That's a wealthy D.C. suburb to the north, very, very progressive suburb. And the Board of Education there once promised various parents, Muslims, Orthodox Jews, evangelical Christians, lots of others, that they had an opt-out for their students for 20 so-called inclusivity books that taught about gender transitioning and pride parades and pronoun preferences and all of this kind of gender theory. And then they stopped allowing that opt-out as of 2023. And so really, this is a rainbow coalition of parents, Muslims, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Christians, whatever, began to speak out against these age-inappropriate and what they consider to be anti-religious books. And they eventually sued for violation of their religious and broader parental rights. The Fourth Circuit on appeal found that there was no burden on religious exercise, and the Supreme Court has taken this up. I should note that I filed a brief on behalf of seven psychologists describing the impressionability of young students and the potential for this type of book to undermine parental instruction. So I imagine the court took this case to clarify finally the scope of parental rights, because these things have been coming up in various contexts, not just with LGBTQIA++ whatever books, but lots of parental rights situations. And so we'll see the argument tomorrow, and with a decision expected by the end of June.
But a gut check on that would be a conservative court would probably lean in your direction here.
I think so. I can't imagine they took this case to affirm the Fourth Circuit. They want to clarify a new standard. I mean, it could be that they vacate the lower court ruling, create a new standard, and ask the lower court to evaluate it in the first place. But I do think I don't see a scenario where they simply affirm what happened below.
Is there anything that is covered in that case? Because as I read it, and I know you described it here about the religious freedom issue, and they want to opt out of the lessons. What if you don't have a religious freedom issue to fall back on? You say, hey, I don't want my kids learning that. Is that covered within this scope or not?
It is. It is. So it's religious and other broader parental rights. Now, religious invocations of religious free exercise tend to win more than kind of a broad-based liberty interest or, you know, right to direct your parent, your kid's instruction. Unfortunately, I would think that those, in my conception of you know, federal constitutional protections, those are equal. But the way that the jurisprudence is currently, religious objections tend to win more.
Yep, got it. Thank you, Ilya. I appreciate the update this afternoon. That was great.
All right, take care.
Awesome. That's Ilya Shapiro, who is our great constitutional expert. We'll take a break. We got Cusimano coming up this afternoon. The Cardinals not doing as well. The Blues game 2 tonight in Winnipeg.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Well, big hockey game tonight, game two. The Blues looked like they were going to steal game one the other night. The Jets would have none of that, but they can still come away with the split. Frank Cusumano from KSDK is here for a preview this afternoon. You got to get this win tonight, don't you, Frank?
Yeah, you really do. There's a great stat out there that in a seven-game series, the team that wins the first two home games goes on to win it 80% of the time. So this is kind of a game you got to win. Now, with that said, there's also a stat that Winnipeg has won the first two games of their last playoff series, and they went on to get swept in the next four games. So that's 2 years in a row.
I like
that. So we'll see which stat works. Yep.
Well, what do you think happened on Saturday? I mean, they looked like they were kind of in control of that game, and then the Jets tied it, and then they, you know, they went up, and the Blues seemed, to my eyes, not being an expert, they really seemed like they could not get the puck out of the Jets' zone very much late in that game.
Yeah, they only got one shot on goal in the third period, and that was a weak shot in the dying seconds of the game. There are a couple of crucial mistakes. Colton Parayko has had better games. In fact, this has been his best season, but a couple of goals, he was right there. Maybe should have got in front of the offensive player, Iafallo. So the thing is, they kind of played like not to lose. They lost their aggressiveness in the third period, and normally they're a terrific third-period team. So I got to tell you something, too. I hope you were watching, Dave, because that looked so daunting. I mean, they only seat 15,200 in the Canada Life Center, but all those white towels, I mean, that
was
is
nuts.
Daunting.
A lot of people outside as well. I mean, I don't know if they had 10,000, 15,000 outside as well.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which was crazy. Ethan, you had a question?
Yeah, Frank. So I thought that there were a couple of positive things I want to hear your thoughts on. First off, the Blues were able to get Robert Thomas and Jordan Kuiper going. I think anytime you're in a playoff series, your best players have to perform, and I thought they looked pretty good, and I think that's a good start. But Montgomery also talked after the game about, you know, you saw the inexperience show a little bit during moments later in that game, but he also was really confident that as some of these young guys get more time, though, they're going to see the quality of play improve. He seemed pretty optimistic still. What are your thoughts overall on that aspect?
Well, first of all, optimism is his whole story in life. That's why it's made him a very successful coach and a winner at every level he's ever been at as a player and a coach. Now, it's a good thought you bring up. Like, think about this tonight. We have seven players age 25 or younger. Winnipeg has three. So a lot of our guys were getting their first real taste of a hostile playoff environment. And, you know, as soon as you play one game, it changes, I think, the way you play completely.
Boy, it would be nice to steal that one tonight. And then they come back for game three. Is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
Thursday night, 8:30, then game four, noon on Sunday.
All right. Well, I felt personally, I'll just speak for myself here, not Cardinal Nation. I felt pretty good about the Cardinals last Monday coming out of that weekend. This Monday, not feeling quite as good. That was just a rough weekend. They had some opportunities, but now you're four games below 500. You got the Braves in a series tonight. It's not going to get any easier.
Yeah, it's amazing how one weekend in New York has just kind of spoiled the whole feeling about the Cardinal team because, you know, Dave, you and I were talking last week. 9-9 is really not a splashy record, but you just felt better about it because the numbers. In fact, I think it was Adam Wainwright who said on Saturday, if you look at the Cardinals' offensive stats and look at some of the OPS numbers, you would think the Cardinals would be the team with a really good record and the Mets would be around 500. Instead, the Mets just went nuts on the Cardinals. One troubling thing with the Cardinals is the inability to win a road game. They are 1-9
I heard that
on
today.
The road this season. That's unbelievable. Now, tonight they're facing a Braves team who've probably been the biggest disappointment in all of baseball. They're 7-13, but it's still a road game. Eric Fetty gets the ball, and they got to stop the bleeding now.
I was stunned when I heard that stat earlier today. I had no idea that they had only won one game. All right, Frank, thanks for the update this afternoon. We'll hope that the Blues can win. We'll talk on Friday afternoon.
Mark, can I say one quick little thing?
Yep.
Is the power of your radio show. I don't know the amount of people that are listening, but last week I said it was so much fun covering sports last week, I wouldn't tell Channel 5, but I would do this for free. My GM, the lovely, talented Alicia Elsner, was listening, and she says, I'll remember that in your next negotiation.
Well, she's a very smart woman for listening to this show. Frank, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Take care.
That is the power of the show. I'll tell you the power of the show, and I'm not really even joking here, is I mentioned David Zweig's coming up. He is an investigative journalist. He's written this book called An Abundance of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and the Story of Bad Decisions. We had Jen Say on Thursday from XXXY Athletics, and Jen has made, it's not really in cooperation with David, but she's made a documentary along the same lines about learning loss and how COVID really hit these kids. And this was just completely coincidental. And I was even asking Fred on Thursday, I'm like, have we had David Zweig on the show? And then I got a message from him on Friday saying, hey, Mark, I don't know if you remember me, but I was on your show a few years ago and I wrote this book. And I said, yeah, I'm very aware. We're trying to get you. So it was fortuitous. But I also said that's kind of the power of the show. And that does sometimes happen. So Mr. Zweig is coming up after Fox News here in a couple of minutes.
Get more at 971talk.com.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.